Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 21. The Reverend Robert Wurst is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your heart is, there your heart will be also. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When Jonah finally made his way to Nineveh and began his three-day sermon, as he trekked to and fro across that city, the Assyrian king, along with his people, was cut to the heart. And he declared, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way, and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish." And then Jonah writes this: "When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it." Note there what Jonah says. When God saw what they did, that is, he looked upon their works. That's rather an interesting phrase, isn't it? Jonah does not say that God peered into their hearts or their thoughts to determine their repentance, though he certainly knows that, but that he was greatly interested in what they did. And what was it that they did? Their repentance was made evident in that they dressed in sackcloth and called for a fast. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus assumes that there are major features of Christian piety. It is prayer and giving alms and fasting. It sounds like he is greatly interested in what his people do. And he makes cautionary statements about what we do being simply for show or to impress others in our vanity. He does do that, and he's dead serious about that. But here he is giving his Christians something to do. He assumes that his Christians will be about these physical things. Having just entered into the holy season of Lent, our attention is focused on repentance and on Christian piety. And piety is this: it is the expression of repentance in a holy life. Piety is really living life under our Father's care. We are enfleshed souls. That is why airlines and ship companies always report the number of souls that are on board their aircraft. They might have forgotten the reason for that. It may be tradition now, but that's what they do. Contrary to what the atheists say and think, we are not simply lumps of flesh which exist and then are blown away into the great circle of life. Creation has a beginning, and it will have an end. We are created in the image of God. He knows that we, who are body and soul together in one person, need discipline. Americans tend toward Gnostic thinking, the thinking that the soul is good and the body is bad. And so we ignore what we do with our bodies and we concentrate on being spiritual. And thus we begin to think that matters pertaining to the body and worship and daily piety are unnecessary or even nonsense. During Lent, we are turned back to the Lord our God. This is the church's time of attention to repentance with its works of prayer, generosity toward others, and fasting. It is a time to examine heart, mind, and life, to get the wheels back on the tracks, as it were, to learn anew the way of self-denial and lifting up the cross to follow Jesus. And Jesus teaches some of that when he urges his disciples to pray, to give generously to the poor and to fast. He turns his disciples away from the motives of seeking honor and blessing from others, because we do like that. But he turns us toward his Father, who sees all things in secret and promises to bless us. And so these simple threefold Lenten disciplines teach us something about ourselves. First, they remind us that we are weak, mortal, and sinful. Another way of saying it is that we are by nature Ninevites, through and through. We live among an evil and violent people. We despise our neighbors for their money and status. We despise them for their ignorance or for their knowledge. We despise them for their race. We despise them for many things. We delight in war. We stand silently by while our wee littlest ones are done away with. And we gladly elect leaders who promise to do more of the same, no matter their party. We are Ninevites, every one at our core. And I say to you, repent. Know this, when we pray, give alms, and fast, we are simply engaging in holding back our nature. We are certainly not making a point to God about how pious we are. He knows your piety, or your utter lack of it. He knows it without your pointing it out to him. Isn't that not as though he is sitting in heaven, pointing at your Lenten discipline with glee and exclaiming, "See how much they love me. I wouldn't have known the depth of their faith and piety if they hadn't given up chocolate for Lent." God is not a dumb idol to be tricked by some outward display. Lent simply engages learning how to be humble. The humility of the Christian life that is a life of repentance from beginning to end. We are the ones who learn from the Lenten disciplines. We are the ones learning our great need of the Lord's mercy. We are not teaching or informing God at any point. And so we learn to give out of the abundance that we have been given. The poor need your money, not God. We pray not to bend God to our will, but so our will would be conformed to his holy will. We fast not to punish or prove ourselves, but to discipline this flesh so that it does not forget that it is not our ruler. As you may know, but you may not, fasting is not simply abstaining from food or drink so to torture ourselves or to make us feel proud of our efforts. It's just a simple thing like cutting back or simplifying a meal. Perhaps it's not eating as richly as usual. You can eat a smaller portion or skip a meal as your health allows. This time can be used to pray for others or read a bit of scripture. It isn't to be a self-torture, but it is to be a humble self-limitation. And it's not Roman Catholic. It's Christian. Jesus himself commends it and partook in it. Praying and giving alms and fasting all serve to remind us that our good comes from our God. The Spirit uses these things to help us think about the way we live and interact with others. The things don't make you holy. Only Jesus makes you holy. But these acts do point you to the one who is holy and who shed his blood to make you holy. This threefold discipline teaches us to put our hope and our trust in the word of Jesus. And they also teach us about loving our neighbor with our time and our gifts. Hearing the Lord's word and call to repent, we give thanks for his tender mercies to us. We beg him to keep us in this faith and confession, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and cherish us until the time of our death. And even at the time of our death, we look forward with joy and anticipation to the resurrection of the dead and eternal life before his holy throne, because we are his bride, his body, his own people. We are his baptized ones, beloved by God for the sake of Christ. Repentance is a gift and work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we spin up out of our own strength. And the Spirit uses Lent to turn our eyes and ears back toward Jesus, the one who loved us with an everlasting and a deep love. In the end, Lent is not about reforming our life or punishing ourselves or fearing God's wrath. You know that's finished. God poured out his wrath on his own Son. There is none left for you. He bids you to look to the cross, to see there that he readily forgives and receives sinners. Yes, sinners such as yourself. We know this and believe this because we know his Son, Jesus. We see the love the Father has for us in his Son. You know that the Father loved the Ninevites and that he loves you because Jesus loves sinners. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. And so turn to the Lord. We repent with sorrow and terror at our sin. But we never despair of his mercy. We look to him with faith and confidence in his mercy. We know, that is, that he is a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. And knowing that, the Spirit of God draws us into these holy disciplines to be trained to walk in the holy way, the narrow way, with eyes fixed on Jesus, following him to Jerusalem where he is enthroned on the cross and rises from the dead to be our Savior and King. And so we pray, grant us, O Lord Jesus, daily repentance and joy in your forgiveness. And grant us also, O Lord, to live as those who fear not sin, nor death, nor the grave. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Derek Walter, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.